with MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare, and they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-B-I-B-L-E, 833-34-BIBLE.
Two women are facing murder charges in Pennsylvania for the death of five of their family members. Detectives say the suspects believed everyone wanted to die. Police arrested a 45-year-old woman and her 19-year-old daughter and charged them on five counts of murder and conspiracy. Iran's foreign minister abruptly resigns. More from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Iran's foreign minister saying he hopes his sudden resignation will reinforce the position of his fellow diplomats, hinting that a dispute with the security apparatus and hardliners in Iran have led to what he calls a deadly poison for foreign policy. Mohammad Javad Zarif's move sending shockwaves through Iran, where tensions are already running high over America's withdrawal from the nuclear deal that he helped negotiate with President Hassan Rouhani. A state-run news agency says Zarif told his colleagues his resignation would aid in restoring the ministry to its legal position in foreign relations.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The House on Wednesday will hold its first major vote on gun control legislation in years, bringing to the floor two bills aimed at allegedly strengthening the background check system for gun purchases. But according to Republican Congressman Steve Scalise of Louisiana, the bills actually do this.
Two different gun control bills they're bringing this week, already under Speaker Pelosi's new majority. And one of the bills is going to make it very hard for you to loan a gun to a friend. For example, let's say your neighbor has been beaten by her boyfriend. She's got a temporary restraining order against him, and she knows you've got a gun, and she says, hey, can I just borrow the gun tonight? I think he's going to come by and hurt me. If you do that, you could actually go to federal prison for a year and have a $100,000 fine. Those are the kind of things that are in this bill. It's dangerous. Anybody that has firearms that maybe has a friend that wants to borrow their gun to go try it out to see if they're going to buy one, you could go to federal prison for doing something that basic.
Scalise does have a recommendation for Democrats.
If they want to, by the way, make the system work better, then there are ways that they can do it. And a lot of these cases with gun crimes, by the way, Brian, we find out it was federal agencies not doing their job. It was maybe local law enforcement not doing their job. In the Parkland shooting, the FBI had this kid's name in a database where he said, I'm going to be a school shooter, and they let him go. Who's been held accountable for that? Why didn't they have a hearing with the FBI agents who touched that case and decided we're going to let him go, and then ultimately he went and became a school shooter?
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hello, this is Joe Peters, and we're going to get going in about 10 seconds here. And before we do that, I'm going to play one of our announcements. I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
So today is the 26th of February. It is about 4:10 p.m., and I'm sitting in scenic downtown Flemington. And I'm replacing, not that she can be replaced, our previous host who's just waving as she leaves the door, and we're going to talk about real estate issues today. I did have a guest coming on, but that guest has not shown up yet, and Vicki Lynn just finished, and she's on her way out, and we actually had her on last week, Joe Peters plus Vicki Lynn Morgan, and hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at that show. They asked me before I get started to give you the weather forecast, and we're going to do that, but first thing, they also asked me to play a preview to the weather forecast, so let me do that first.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So once again, it's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. They asked me to give you the weather forecast, and that's what I'm going to do. It is now currently 36 degrees, and it's a little bit sun, a little bit overcast, like 50-50 out there. It's going to go down to 21 tonight. Tomorrow's going to have a high of 32 and 27. On Thursday, we're going to have a high of 39, low of 27. Same thing on Friday, same thing on Saturday, but we're going to start to get a little rain on Saturday, and it's going to go up to 41. Warm up a little, but same thing overnight. And then on Sunday, looks like it's 50-50 again, high of 39 and 19. Let me play one or two of our intros, and I'll be right back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody just...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
So, once again, it's Joe Peters, and I'm going to play my intro so I don't have to tell you all about myself.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing, The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, it's Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters. I had a guest coming on. I don't know if I wrote it down wrong or if he wrote it down wrong or if somewhere in between one of us missed the appointment, but I'm not going to mention it as to who he was. So, in place, I always bring a backup, and that's what we're going to do today. Also, the video portion of what we're doing doesn't seem to be cooperating, so there's just an audio available out there today. We're in an interesting time real estate wise. We're at the outset of spring. I always say Super Bowl plus a week or two is when the season kicks off, depending upon the weather. And the weather this year has been cooperating, although we had a couple of cold nights and we had a really windy day yesterday. A lot of power outages. We didn't get affected, but I heard a lot of others at meetings I was at too earlier today. We're sitting looking at a market that's ready to get started. A lot of listings came on over November, December, January, mostly above 500. And we're starting to get more listings on in all price points. This is the time where people list their house. And we're starting to see sales. We never saw sales stop, but sales are starting to pick up. And we're starting to see a pretty active under 400K inventory market, and 400 to 600 is about average, and 7 and above has probably got some pressure on it. We're just not selling a lot of houses. I mean, a good example of that would be if we took a look at the month of January, which is the last full month that we have. We probably had 3 or 4 sales. We typically have 10 or 12. So at the very upper end of our market, we're witnessing people aren't looking at housing as a great investment anymore because of the fact that the upper end market isn't appreciating the way it once was. It sort of feeds on itself. And the fact that the tax credits that were once there aren't there, and the fact that we're not having as many children and not making as much money, all add together to it's getting harder to sell higher end housing. Not impossible, just harder to sell. Another phenomena that's happened is we used to have in Hunterdon County a lot of people that would move here for the quality of life, and that hasn't stopped. People that are coming into Hunterdon County are looking for a higher quality of life, but it's slowed down. And not only has it slowed down, but the attrition, which are the people moving out, which we've always had, we always lose a few people each year, isn't being replaced by the people moving in. On top of that, last year, 2017, 2018, we don't have the numbers yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the same situation. We actually had more deaths than births in Hunterdon County, so we're not even growing our own anymore in numbers to replace the people that are passing on or moving out. So what does that mean to Hunterdon County? It means that for 2019, we're looking at a real estate market that is probably more towards normal than we've seen in the last 3 years. And because it looks normal and the last few years were really chaotic, it doesn't look normal. It looks like, wow, it didn't look like the last couple of years. But I think it's good news. So what's a normal inventory market? A normal inventory market is when it takes somewhere between 4 to 6 months to sell your house. And how do we gauge that? We gauge that by looking about the amount of houses for sale in a price point in a town. Let's say there's 10 for sale. And in the last 30 days, 3 went under contract. That doesn't mean they've closed yet. They've just gotten a contract that's been accepted during attorney review. It will close in the next 4 to 6 weeks. You divide one into the other, and that gives us a 3.33 month supply. But let's say only one of them went under contract. That would give us a 10-month supply. So if we didn't put any more houses on the market and we just sold at the rate we sold last month, which might not have been a normal rate, sometimes you have to go 2 or 3 months and average it, you would have month supply of 10 months. It would take 10 months to sell the amount of inventory that's on the shelf. But I would think February is going to be better in January and March is going to be better in February. So it should pick up. Secondly, there's more inventory coming on all the time. So by the time we finish the February report, let's say we had 10 on the market and we sold one. Now there's 9. We add 2 more on. But this month we sell 4. Well, then we've got right where I'm talking about a 4 to 6 month supply, and that's a normal market. That means house prices aren't going up and house prices aren't going down. If we list them accurately, we're selling them somewhere in the 4 to 6 month category. The last number I saw was we have about an 85-day sales cycle. That's days on market in Hunterdon County. And in Somerset County, it's more like 72. In Hunterdon County, we sold roughly 200 houses. I should say 130 houses last month. But in Somerset County, we sold roughly twice that, 256. In Hunterdon County, our average price point for the month of January was roughly $360,000, where in Somerset, it's roughly $460,000. So the counties are different. And what makes them different is that Somerset County is closer to New York. And as a result of it being closer to New York, it's a more active county. So let's go through what people go through when they buy a house. And I do business across both Hunterdon and Somerset County, as my advertisement that I just played said. And what I witness is I'll be in Warren Watchung, which is really the first areas of Somerset County you hit as you've come down 78. You're still below the hills, and you're still not into Hunterdon County, but not into the Bridgewater area. You're in Warren Watchung. And people are coming out and they're saying, what can I buy for my money out here? And the answer is, unless you're pretty well healed, you're not going to get a lot for your money. Because the average price point over there for a house in those two towns is well over $1 million. And people say, whoa, so what do I have to do? My budget's somewhere in the fives, the sixes. I say, well, you probably need to be looking into the Bridgewater or Hillsborough area, or if you want to venture into Hunterdon County, which is a little further yet, you then probably want to look into the Reddington, Raritan, Clinton Township areas. We traditionally sell houses for 20% more in Somerset County. The reason is it's closer to New York, and that's where people would traditionally like to live. Yet, when people cannot find houses in Somerset County that they're looking for in their price point, a lot of times they'll drive a little further. And eventually they'll get out into Reddington, Raritan, Clinton Township, one of those towns in Hunterdon County, and they'll say, wow, here it is. It's that kind of house I want. But there's a surprise that goes with it. In Somerset County, most of our properties don't have septic systems. In Hunterdon, we do. Same thing with wells. Most in Somerset don't have wells, but in Hunterdon we do. So people have to accept the fact that not only am I going to drive a little further, maybe 10 or 15 minutes more each way, but they're also going to have to accept the fact that their house is in the country and there are no public sewers or water in most towns. And as a result, they're going to have a well and a septic. I advocate that as long as the well and the septic are in good shape when you move in and you take care of the septic system as you live there, nothing lasts forever, but they should last a long time. A well, the wellhead burns out every 20 years. It needs to be replaced. But you don't have any money going out to the water company with a well system. What you're going to do is you're going to have a little bit more electricity because you're pumping the water up from several hundred feet underground. And then you're going to put the water into a water system within your house, and you can add to that a reverse osmosis system, which will make the water that you've pumped up bottled-grade water. It's the same as going to the store and getting a case of 24 bottles. Your water is going to be purified and clean. You may need to put a UV light on it if there's any contaminants in it, but it's pure well water. So you don't have Poland Springs, you have Hunterdon Springs. And Hunterdon Springs water, I've been drinking it for the last 20 years, is not bad water. And when you put a reverse osmosis system on, which is optional, it just takes all the impurities out, and the UV takes any contaminants out, you've got bottle-grade water. You don't have to go anymore to the store. Now, if you're in a city and you have city water, well, then the fact is you have the city deciding what kind of additives you put into the water. It might be fluoride. It might be something else. You have no control over that. But you also don't have to pay the electric bill. You don't have to replace the wellhead every 20 years. And you're going to pay a water bill once a quarter. That's probably somewhere around $50. So if you took the $50 a quarter, $200 a year, put it in the bank, and at the end of 20 years, you now have $4,000 in the bank. That's more than what you're going to pay when your wellhead goes. So it is cheaper to own a well in most cases, but at the same time, it is not the same as city water, and you have to want to accept that. It needs to be tested when you move in. We actually test it for about 400 different things. If any of those things fail, well, then we give the seller the right to remediate it, and once it's remediated, it needs to be tested again. And then you have certified well water that meets the state standards. Let's talk about septics, though. Septics is a little bit different. It's a bigger item, and it's a little bit scarier to most people. What we have with septic systems is that a septic system will last anywhere from 30, 40, 50 years, depending how well it's maintained and depending how heavily it's been used. But I will say, if we're looking at a house that's 30 to 40 years old and the septic system is the original septic system, it's probably near end of life. And the people that are selling it will have to let you inspect it. And what you will do as a result of the inspection is come up with a list of things that are concerns and tell them that you won't buy the house unless those concerns are addressed. It could be that the field is needing to be replaced. That's a big item. That could be $30,000. Or it could be just that the tank and the pumps are shot. And that could be, you know, $3,000 or $4,000. Not as big of a thing. But you want to get the septic system certified up to a level that is a level that is acceptable to you, and then you want to keep it at that level till you sell the house so that you don't have to put a septic system in. But if you need to replace a four-bedroom septic system in Hunterdon County, and it's not an above-ground system, it's a typical bed system, you're probably talking somewhere $30,000 to $40,000. It could go upwards of that if you need a mound system or if you get into a more eccentric. There's a lot of like peat septic systems that you can do. It could be more than that. They all have their advantage. They all have their costs. But there's an offset to the septic as well, because if you're paying city taxes on a sewer and you took that just the way you took your well money, your water bill money, and you took, I would say if you're probably paying easily in the course of a year $4,000 or $5,000 in taxes on a septic system. So let's just round numbers, $5,000. Could be a little more, could be a little less. But your tax bill is higher if you have city sewer than a septic. So you have a septic and you're not paying the taxes. Let's say you took the $5,000 that you would have paid for a septic system and you put it in the bank for a year, that would be $6,000. For 10 years, that's $60,000. Let's say I'm 100% wrong and it's not $400 a month, it's more like $200 a month. So it's half of that. It's the same price. It's just a big pill to swallow for people who've never had a septic or a well. But you, as a buyer, have to make sure that the house that you're buying is at an acceptable level, both at the well and at the septic system level. Then you have to maintain it, and then when you sell it, you go all the way through that process again, but then as a seller, not as a buyer. So what are the big differences about living in Hunterdon County? It takes a little longer to get to New York, if that's where you're going, or anywhere to the east. If you merely went from 287 to Clinton, that's about 15 miles. And if you could come down 78, and it's probably a 12-minute drive, let's say 15 round numbers, 20-minute drive. So that 20 minutes each way, that's 40 minutes a day, and you're probably using a gallon of gas each way, adds up. Let's say the gas is $2.50 a gallon and you use 2 gallons more a day and the time is worth something. Well, let's not put a price on it. It's just the cost you spend to get out here. But $5 a day extra for gas, you do it 20 times a month, that's $100 a month just in gas. Your wear and tear on a car. So you probably could double that. Your car will wear out more frequently. You're actually putting 40 miles, 15 miles, I said, so let's say 30 miles a day extra, 250 times, 7,500 more miles a year on a car just to drive that. So we get a lot of people that say, I don't want to live that far from New York. Okay, that's your choice. But if you're going to live closer to New York, what you're going to encounter is a higher cost of real estate, and you're going to get less for what you pay. And the less you get is more in the size of the lot than the size of the house. So if you live in Hunterdon County and you have a four-bedroom center hall colonial, and you can get one that was built in the 70s to 80s for around $400,000, that same house in Somerset County is going to cost you more like $475,000. So it's going to cost you more money per month. You're going to commute less, and you're going to have a smaller piece of property. It's a trade-off. People say, what's the real difference between Hunterdon and Somerset? I said, if you want to turn left at the cows and right at the horses, you want to be in Hunterdon County. It's God's country. I've lived here now for 20 years. We love it here. I can't say never. I don't think it's in the cards that we would move out of here. And even though I do business across Hunterdon and Somerset County, and Somerset has some really nice houses, between the extra cost and the smaller piece of property and giving up the bucolic lifestyle that you have in Hunterdon County, it's not something I think I could go back to. I moved here for a reason. I'm not moving back for the same reason. Why I moved here was accurate. We love Hunterdon County. So let's talk about a few other things that are going on. First one's millennials. Everybody shuts their eyes and thinks of a millennial and sees somebody staring into your phone. But I don't care if you're 25 years old or 75 years old. You're probably picking up your phone more than once an hour and looking into it. It's just a bad habit we've all gotten into. If you force yourself not to do that, then in effect, it's a better habit not to do. But quite honestly, it's hard not to do. It's like, oh, did I get an email? Did I get a text? Did I get a whatever? That's a millennial. Millennials are 25 to 35, the ones that are buying houses. They want to live in a more suburban atmosphere than we have here in Hunterdon County. They would prefer to live where they could take a train to work and a train back home, and they could pass a Starbucks on the way to the train and a bakery on the way home where they can get a roll for bread, coffee going in. It's a different lifestyle that they're looking for. So they gravitate to the cities outside of New York City because most of the work is in New York City. But even though they're digesting the fact that they have to pay more rent, probably 50% more to live that close to New York City, maybe double if you're in a really nice place really close to New York. Let me give you an example. A two-bedroom condo here in Hunterdon County, it's probably in the somewhere between $1,500 and $2,000. Two-bedroom condo in Somerset County, one county further in, it's probably between $2,000 and $2,500. You get within 15 miles of New York, that same condo is well over $3,000. Might be closer to $4,000. You're paying more per month. Not only are you paying more per month to live there, but it's costing you more per everything to live there. If you go to the dry cleaners, it's going to cost you more to get your shirts cleaned. If you go to the grocery store, you're probably going to pay a little bit more for the convenience of living there. Everything you do is going to cost you a little more. So you as a millennial, and the millennials right now are 25% of our ownership in New Jersey, could be 50% if we had houses to sell them, but the houses that they're looking for, which are in a 200 to 350 range, just aren't available in any great numbers, and that's a problem that lingers for the last 3 years. So they're moving closer to New York, and as a result, they're not accumulating any money. It takes money to buy a house. And you probably need minimum 6%, 3% down payment, 3% to close. So if you're going to buy a $250,000 house, that 6% would be 6 times 25 would be, what, $15,000. That's a lot of money to accumulate if you're paying $4 for a fine cup of coffee and $12 for dessert when you go out to dinner. We're here at $100, and you could probably pay half the price for both. As a result of that, the money, the discretionary money, is getting spent on things to keep the ball rolling and is not going into the savings. The last article I read was that the average millennial, not the average millennial, but the average renter, after years of renting, has an average net worth of $5,000. The average homeowner, after 5 or 10 years of home ownership, because of the appreciation and other items, has more like $200,000. That's a large disparity. That's a $5,000 is 1/20th of 100. So if you have 200, it's 1/40th, 1/50th, if it's 250 on the other side of the net worth. And as a result, they're probably not ever going to afford to be able to buy a house. So the millennials are living near the jobs. They're in the lifestyle that they love. They're spending more to live there. Not only are they closer and paying more rent, but the cost of living on all levels is more in that area. And they're not accumulating enough wealth in order to buy a house. Then we have the opposite end of the spectrum, and that's the seniors. The seniors are looking at the situation and saying, it's expensive to live in New Jersey. Once again, Allied Van Line said 2/3 of all their moves are out of the state, not into the state. It lessened a little last year because the economy was better, but one out of every three people is moving in, and the two others are moving out. So the seniors are moving out, Pennsylvania, Delaware, the Carolinas. And what's happening in the middle? Well, the prices are coming down. They're coming down from the very high end first, and they're rolling down. So in Hunterdon, that's why we're having trouble selling houses over $700,000 in Hunterdon. We're only selling a handful every month, and we have at least 200 for sale. The prices are getting challenged. So let me break down Hunterdon County by price point. If you're in a condo or a townhouse, you're probably under $400,000, $450,000 at the most. And as you put those on the market, they're probably selling in 30 to 60 days. They've had reasonable appreciation last year. They probably got 5 to 6%. The year before, 4%. This year, it's probably going to be more like 4% again. I think we're pulling back just a little. And if you're in a single-family home, the exact same thing is happening. We don't have enough inventory. That's where the first-time buyers are looking to buy. And as a result of that, your houses are selling well, and the prices are going up, and they continue to go up. If you're in a 400 to 500, 550, we've got a normal market. That's where the people moving in and out, for instance, Exxon is moving in. I sold somebody moving in with Exxon a home in Flemington late last year. They bought in the low 400s. It didn't take long to sell the house because there's not a lot on the market that's clean inventory. That's another whole subject matter. How clean is your house? How ready is it to sell? How marketable is it? And as a result of that, the market's normal. The market's fairly normal. You get above 550 and you're starting to get into an area that's challenging, and it's not normal. It's a market that's receding. I would say from 550 to 700, it's a flat market. The prices aren't going up. At the very high end of that range, they're probably coming down a little, depending where you live. You get above 700, your prices aren't going up. They've been coming down for the last few years. You just may not have realized that as of yet. And you get over a million, there's always a market for those larger houses, but there's a less of a market than it used to be. So how does that differ from Somerset County? Somerset County, when I say up to 400, you could say up to 500 because they get about 20% more. Somerset County, you can go all the way up to 800,000 or 900,000 without seeing any pullback. Those houses are still getting appreciation every year because there's a robust market for it. But you get to the high end and the same thing is happening. So things always happen in real estate from east to west. And I think what's happening that I'm seeing is that the high end of the market is pulling back. There's more inventory. We did list a lot of inventory in there in the last 3 months. There's more to choose from. There's more competition. And as a result, the price that you could have gotten for your house last year is much higher than you're going to get for it this year. Stay under 500,000, you're gold. Go over 500,000, but get closer to 6 or 7. You're going to flatten off in Hunterdon. You can go up to 8 or 9 before you flatten off in Somerset. It's just a numbers game. It's a supply and demand kind of equation. I think one of the things that we're seeing is the market has been, as they say, a rising tide raises all the boats at the same time, at the same level. The market, because of the economy, has been rising for the last 6 or 7 years, all the way back to 2011. Yet today, we have roughly half the inventory that we had on the market in 2011, and you could argue that we had too much inventory back there. But we're working with half the inventory. We're working in the price points where people are interested in buying with no inventory whatsoever. We're seeing houses go the day they come on the market. And a lot of times we're seeing them the day before they come on the market because a realtor will go in to list a house and they'll say, I've got a buyer for this house. We don't even have to list it. I could save you half your commission by you just selling it to my buyer. And we're seeing no fewer sales than we've seen the last few years, but we're seeing less inventory at the low-end level. Now, you got to couple price with location. In Hunterdon County, we sell half of our inventory between Clinton Township as one area, Reddington, Raritan as the second and third area. Half of everything we sell at all price points is sold in that area. That's where people want to live. They don't want to live any further west. They don't want to live any further north or south. That's the sweet spot. That bumps into Somerset County's sweet spot, which is Bridgewater, the hottest place in Somerset County. Branchburg, it bumps into Hillsborough, it bumps into Somerset. Those, you add those together, and that's probably half the business we do over there. Those two sets of areas are contiguous to each other. That's as far as people want to go. But 10 years ago, they would drive all the way over to Route 31 plus about a mile. So that's Clinton at the north end and Flemington at the south end. And that's as far as they want to go. But guess what? They don't want to go that far anymore. It's a proven fact that they're driving the 287 plus about a mile. That's Bridgewater or Hillsborough. And that's as far as they want to go. And as a result, Hunterdon is suffering from it. But they can't find houses in Bridgewater. So some of it spills over and they move a little into Hunterdon. So that's what I'm saying. It's not only your price point, it's where you're located. If you're all the way out in Frenchtown or Alexandria, especially the far extremities of Alexandria, or Holland, or down in the Amwells, you have a tough time. I don't care what price point you're at. There's not a lot of demand for the housing in that. They're beautiful areas. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. And to some people, the commute is really good because if you're going down towards Princeton, those areas are not bad areas to live in. But there's not a lot of demand, and demand drives our market. So we talked about three things. We talked about millennials moving to the east. We talked about seniors moving to the west. We talked about prices, especially at the high end, moving down. Let's talk about what happens next. It's a common belief that we're about 84 months into this economic recovery. That means every month has been better than the last for eight. It's the longest run we've had since the Second World War. It's been an amazing economy. Push open a door at any restaurant you go in, and it says, help wanted. There are no people left. We're talking about raising the minimum wage to $11. I got news for you. We're paying $13 or $14 now. Raising the minimum wage isn't going to matter if there's nobody there to work. So as long as the economy stays where it's at, things will not suffer. But it does mean that when you start looking for a house, you're probably going to pay more if you're in the popular price points in the popular towns. If you're in the popular price points but not in the popular towns, there's probably more inventory. And if you're in the high price points in the unpopular towns, you probably got 12 to 24 months on your hands when you go to sell your house. And you're probably not going to get what you think you could get. You're definitely not going to get what you got 2 years ago. So we're coming to an end of this spiral, which has been going up. The forecasters are saying probably by the end of 2020, we'll see a pullback. And the forecast for real estate is that we won't see houses dropping in value, other than the values that they're dropping now. The higher end is dropping a little bit. We're going to see them just not go up the way they have been. We're seeing it this year. We're forecasting 2 to 4%, where last year we got 4 to 6%. And the year before that, we got 5% growth. So we're starting to see it already. And what I'm saying is sort of the normalizing of expectations in real estate. What we can do as we move forward is we can expect to see more of the same of what we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years, but we're not going to see the growth in appreciation the way we've seen it. Then there's one other wild card, and April 15th is now, what, less than 2 months away. People are starting to do their income taxes. They're starting to realize one of two things. Wow, I benefited from this new tax bill. Or, wow, I got screwed by this new tax bill. Now, the industry expert that I listen to says you got to make in the multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars before that tax bill has affected you. Because what's happened, even though you only have $10,000 to deduct in mortgage interest, and you can only deduct so much of a mortgaged interest. So mortgage taxes are one thing, mortgage interest is another. You've lost on both accounts. Your whole tax scale has slid down, and it more than made up for what you're going to lose in deductions. But if you're earning more than $400,000, that's not the case. That's where this tax bill was gauged to have its impact. And it is going to have its impact. Now, that may say, who the hell earns that kind of money? We have people that earn that kind of money, but it's like the upper half of 1%, especially in Hunterdon County. In Somerset County, we have a lot more people that earn that kind of money, so maybe it's the upper 2%. But those people will get impacted, and they're going to look at inventory the way a lot of people are looking at it. It's like, this is probably not such a great investment anymore. It's not a bad investment. I mean, when you think about it, you have to live somewhere. And if you're going to pay somebody else rent to live there, you, in effect, are paying their mortgage payment. And you're probably paying as much as if you owned a house yourself. So you may not want to own a house and have any responsibilities. You may not be in a situation where your credit's robust enough to buy a house. But if you're paying somebody else rent, and let's just make up a scenario. Let's say you're paying $2,500 for a three-bedroom townhouse, and you're renting it. You could probably buy that three-bedroom townhouse with some money down. You'd have to have some cash for the same amount of money, and you'd get a tax deduction out of it. There's a little bit of an argument that since we doubled the standard deduction, some persons buying between a $250 and a $350 typically get the tax deduction anyway. But if you're above that market, you're probably getting a tax shelter. You're getting some interest. You're just not buying what's considered a good investment anymore, because it used to be, without saying, you go out and buy a house. You live in it for 7 years. The house will probably go up at least 50%. So if you bought a $300,000 house, now it's worth $450,000. And you can turn around and sell that house, and through those 7 years, you got a nice tax deduction. And you can buy a bigger house. Well, today, you may go out and go for that same scenario, but at the end of 7 years, the house is worth $275,000, $250,000. You're still going to get some appreciation, just not what you used to get. So things are slowing down a bit. The economy has slowed just a notch, in my estimation, from what I've seen so far this year, today being the 26th, I believe, of February. But it hasn't slowed to the point that there's a fear. It's slowed to the point that it's slowing. We can see it. And I talked to somebody yesterday that builds high-end houses in Hunterdon County. They typically build a half a dozen a year. They have no houses under construction right now. That's sort of scary. The high-end market's affected greatly. The moderate market, we're not building anything in the moderate market because we are jurisdicted to build on 1, 2, 3 acres, depending on the town. And we're jurisdicted to build large footprint houses because we don't want starter housing. It's an old leftover fear that we're going to overburden our school system. But that was 15, 20 years ago thinking. Today, our school, especially our high school population, is diminishing for lots of reasons, but it's diminishing in Hunterdon County. And we could afford to bring people in and not hire any more teachers. And we could afford to have more entry-level housing, but there's a couple of things happening preventing that from happening. One is land has become very expensive. Two is we have affordable housing quotas that need to be met. And until they're met, and that we have what used to be called the Mount Laurel, but it's now the Affordable Housing Act, until we have that satisfied, it's difficult to build any amount of moderate to low-end house, starter housing. What I call is free market starter housing. Affordable housing means you have to make under a certain level of money. In Hunterdon County, single $36,000, couple $50,000. If you make more than that, you can't be in affordable housing. So it's not public housing, but it's affordable housing, and you have income. It's income-restricted housing. Once you get above that and you want to buy a house, let's say I'd like to buy a new house that costs $250,000. Well, it's just like the Easter Bunny. There ain't no such thing. We don't have new houses that cost $250,000 in Hunterdon County. We don't have new houses that cost anything under $500,000 in Hunterdon County unless you're buying a lot and building it yourself. And the reason for it is some of the things that I just mentioned. Old thinking as far as tax jurisdiction and building code, and the fact that land costs a lot of money, and the fact that we've got to resolve this affordable housing. Excuse me. That was a sneeze interruption. I'm sorry. So what do we do about it? Well, none of us are going to get up and move. A few of us are. But that's been normal. That's been happening every year. We still have 125,000 people in Hunterdon. We have 275 to 300 in Somerset County. We've chosen to live here. We like living here. We just need to find the right house. So my advertisement shows 4 goldfish bowls. The first one's a little fish jumping into a bigger bowl, first-time buyer. The second one shows a fish jumping from a small bowl to a bigger bowl as well, but it's a trading up situation. They're buying their second house. The third one is what I call right sizing. We've got a small fish in a big bowl and a big fish in a small bowl and the wrong size bowls. And that happens usually after the kids go to school and then the 4 foot of 55 plus market. And I have a couple of gray haired fish. And if you think that was easy to find, try to find a goldfish with gray hair. But those are the 4 facings of home buying. First-time buyers buy usually between 25 and 35. That's moved back a little. I'd say it's now between 32 and 38. But second-time buyers, which is who the first-time buyer sells their house to, and now they need to buy one size bigger because they now have 3 children, and they only bought a house that had 3 bedrooms. they're buying in the 250 to 500 market. And then the person that sells them that house, one of two things have happened. They're either trading up, which we're not seeing that much of anymore, to that last big house because the kids are now in college. We can now afford to have the house we always wanted. Some of that still goes on, but not as much as used to. Or they're trading down, and they're saying, I want to go into high-rise. I want to go into rentals. I want to go into smaller housing. And a lot of those people are finding just that in our bigger cities along the railroad lines. And the 55-plus, we don't have much of 55-plus here in Hunterdon County, but we do have some. We have Flemington Fields. We have DeVore Farms. We have a few others sprinkled through that are not income assisted. And it's hard to find affordable senior housing because there's just not a lot of it. We have an average of 4 sales a month in 55-plus housing in Hunterdon County, where we probably have 10 times that much in Somerset County. So we're at a crossroads of what we have is not what people want, and what they want is not what we have. So they either have to go elsewhere or find alternate ways to modify the house they're in so it now fits their lifestyle, or maybe buy a lot and put a house up on it, or maybe go into rentals. And rentals are becoming bigger and bigger. We're turning into more of a rental society every month. This is Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker. I cover all of Hunterdon and all of Somerset. I'm going to play my commercial one more time so you know how to reach me. Give me a call. Let's talk. If you're thinking about buying, if you're the first or second or third time, I can help you. If you're thinking about selling and trading up, trading down, or trading sideways, I can help you. I have sold hundreds of houses in Hunterdon County and Somerset County. I have my business split across the both. And let me tell you about it in a little more professional way from my commercial.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next week, and I'll talk to you then.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The House of Representatives is nearing a final vote on President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the southern border. The Democrats' resolution would block President Trump's executive order. North Carolina Republican Congressman Mark Meadows argues that there is a crisis at our southern border.
The drugs flowing across our southern border are not a crisis. You know, again, President Obama seemed to agree with this and declared a national emergency.
President Trump is in Vietnam for a high-stakes summit with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. As far as some goals for the summit, Republican Congressman from Florida Mike Waltz tells Fox News,
I am in a rush for the North Koreans to come to the table with something very concrete, including a full accounting of their program, and that's what I want to see coming out of this summit before we make any more concessions.
This is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
Hearings Tuesday before a Senate Finance Committee may get contentious as the heads of seven major pharmaceutical companies give testimony regarding the high cost of prescription drugs. With more, here's USA Radio Network's John Clemens.
Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa said he hopes the hearings will pull back the curtain on how drug makers set their prices. Lawmakers want to hear how the pharmaceutical companies justify the so-called culture of secrecy surrounding the price increases, especially for insulin for diabetics. Skeptics complain many of these lawmakers have taken money from drug makers, including the senators on the committee.
Home prices are on the rise. According to the Case-Shiller Home Price Index, prices increased almost 5% in December. Las Vegas, Phoenix, and Atlanta have the highest reported gains over the last year. Low mortgage rates are giving sales a boost, while home prices remain high across most major metropolitan areas. This is USA Radio News.